Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Research is showing students' success hinges on the relevance of what they learn, and that can hinge on their relationships with teachers. Donald Easton Brooks is a scholar in education policy and culturally responsive teaching. During his time as dean of the University of South Dakota School of Education, he formed a partnership with the Sioux Falls School District to launch the Teacher Pathway Program. That program seeks to recruit a diverse pool of potential teachers from its own student body. This year, Easton Brooks also published his book, Ethnic Matching: Success of Students of Color. As his time at USD draws to a close, he visits with SDPB's Jackie Henry on what research shows us about relationships and relevance in education and how diversifying the teaching profession will ultimately improve students' success.
The challenge with this book, writing this book, is that I'm a quantitative researcher, and I deal a lot with numbers and looking at advanced ways of which we look at data. I did this purposefully. Most of the research on culture responsive practice or research on working with diverse students is very qualitative. And with the qualitative piece, it really is that narrative of telling a story. And the narrative of telling a story is very cultural to communities of color. And so as research come out with this notion of how do we tell a story, it's very qualitative. But when we start looking at ed policy has a hard time with qualitative research and don't see it as something that's evidence-based. They see it more as anecdotal, but it's very evidence-based. And so for me, as I started looking at how do we engage with populations of color? How can we build up equitable practices that will really help advance the educational success of these populations? Or more than anything else, how do we get policymakers to listen? And what I was finding is that there were not a lot of qualitative researchers, even more so, not a lot of scholars of color doing quantitative research. And so I made it my mission to make sure that I could do the research, a lot of which was qualitative, but in a quantitative framework. And so as I started to do that research, it was making sense on the policy level, and it was making sense when we started thinking about how do we think about what students of color needed. But it wasn't really getting to that audience that really needed it because it was too technical. So teachers were not really reading it. Some scholars, but not a lot of scholars were reading it. And so I had to find a way to kind of step back and figure out how to tell this story and how from a way in which people can understand what the numbers are talking about. And so for me, it was a real challenge to kind of not think quantitatively, not think in that kind of quantitative research framework and say, okay, how practical is this work I've been doing over the last 10 years? And if we saw it in practice, what would it look like from a practical framework? So I still was able to embed numbers in it and do this, but really kind of how do I tell that story from my position? There was one book company, I won't mention the name, but a very prominent book company that I first went with. But they really wanted me to kind of eliminate numbers and kind of do it in the way they wanted me to do it. And I couldn't do that. I had to figure out how to tell it from a place that I thought I could tell it and from a place that I felt like people could understand it if I told it. So.
Right. And this book focuses on preschool through senior year of high school, matching students of color with teachers of color, or at least having some exposure
right.
to at least one teacher
exactly.
of color
right.
at
right.
some point there.
Right.
What does the research show us about why it's
right.
important?
Sure. So what the research, first of all, what the research shows us is that when students are paired with a teacher of their same race, well, let's say from kindergarten through fifth grade, that we see that there is a significant impact on their learning. What I found in doing this book is also that those teachers who are engaged in schools with at least 30% of the teachers are of color tend to do a better job of engaging students of color. And then the third thing I found were those professionals, and I really wanted to look at people who we saw successful in life, more of a kind of Gutman. Gutman was a researcher that he felt like in order to understand a group of people, you need to look at the most successful or the most dysfunctional to understand them. So I thought I wanted to look at a highly successful group and find out from their public school framework, how did this relationship with black teachers, I'm sorry, not black teachers, teachers of their same race versus teachers of a different race, how were those relationships? And I found that those professionals who had at least four teachers throughout their kindergarten through 12th grade tended to have a better relationship with white teachers as compared to those who had at least one teacher of their same race or a teacher of color. Actually, 56% said they had a positive relationship with white teachers. So I think what this tells us is that there's something cultural about relationships that kind of help puts us at ease. Sometimes we go into a situation and situations can be uncomfortable because we do feel different. It could be gender, it could be race, it could even be religion. But sometimes we go into a place and we feel that awkwardness. But if we can find something that brings us back to comfort or bring us back to center, it really kind of helps put us at ease. So when you're talking about in a classroom and you're learning and you're trying to learn something and three students can get it and you're not getting it, it forces you to think about those differences and why is it that I'm not getting it and they're getting it. And so I think sometimes what happens is that when you have someone that could frame a conversation or frame this learning in a way that's different than someone else, or frame it in a way that's culturally responsive, I may think it makes it easier. Or when you get kids that people understand their behaviors and understand how they behave or why they behave, it makes it easier to connect and engage. And so I think that's a lot of what happens. Another thing with this, I do believe that sometimes, and I talk about this in the book, we come into situations with an expectation anyway. It could be subconscious, it could be conscious. And that expectation can be, okay, here is a Latinx kid. So with this Latinx kid, I have a framework of what I think about this kid. Either they speak another language, they might have a challenge with reading, whatever my framework is, I might think that, and it might not be a negative thing that I'm thinking about it, but I've already put this expectation on this kid. This kid could come with an expectation thinking that, okay, here's this white teacher, and just from the way she might look or he might look, start to develop a framework of what he or she thinks. And in that situation, both of them are waiting on a cue to confirm to them if their expectations make sense or not. And that makes it very challenging. For the teacher, it is important, mainly because that person is the adult, to try to figure out, how do I break down these expectations, both of that I might have of the student and what I might think the student, or what the student shows me that he or she might have of me. And then how do we work through that and build a relationship, right? You have to kind of be open to kind of breaking down those barriers you might have of another person and really think about how to interact, engage, to find out more about how the student really behaves or interacts or learns in my classroom.
Mm-hmm. And this is applicable for educators right. across the board.
Exactly. I would think so. And even because some of the stuff I found in my research is that this similar type of research has been done, for instance, in higher ed. And what they've shown is that students, when they're matched with an advisor of the same race, tend to do better in school, have better GPAs, tend to graduate on time, their retention rate is higher. And they found the same thing in the workplace. They found the same thing in counseling. So there's something about this type of work that makes sense. I think the challenge, though, is not suggesting that we only hire people to work with specific populations. What I think it means is that we really need to figure out how to diversify fields in a way that we can bring more diverse conversations and more diverse thoughts in so that we're better able to learn how to interact and engage and work with people all over. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about that matching piece, oftentimes I'm finding myself talking about what it's not. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about segregation.
Right.
It's not about saying these people need to be with these people and these people need to be with these people and the world works better. It's really about saying, how do we diversify ourselves in a way that we can understand one another, that we can learn from one another? And there are things we can learn by exposing ourselves to people of different ethnicities, different languages, different cultures of all types.
Right. What do you find that has to do when it comes down to the policy level? What are some, like, practical strategies to take those steps?
Right. And so, like, for instance, one of the things we did was Sioux Falls Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Before starting with Sioux Falls Schools, we talked to their leadership about this needs to be important at the leadership level as well. Oftentimes, when we put practices in place or we put things in place, we put it on the backs of teachers and say, okay, do this. And if it doesn't work out, well, the teachers didn't do it. But there's no real buy-in from leadership. So from a policy framework, it's really about how do you put policies and practices in place to say this is important and this is relevant, right? And from a policy framework, what I have realized or what I think about is that over the years, what has happened is that we have developed policies around access. So when you think about Brown versus Board, it was about access for Linda Brown, right? Yeah. Or for other students of color to have access to education that was equitable, or equitable access, should I say. When we think about the different Indian Education Acts, or the Bilingual Acts, the more, you know, they've been revised 3 or 4 times throughout our history. When we think about some of the cases that really engage with language and having students be able to be in the classroom, even from a special ed framework, it's really about access. How do we provide students access? But what policy has failed to do is really talk about what is needed for teachers to be able to work with populations of students. We don't have policies that really push how do we engage with the population that's really in our professional and public schools. So, for instance, we'll say to teachers, okay, you have to have math if you're a math teacher, English if you're an English teacher, all these different things if you're an elementary ed teacher. Well, and we test them, and we make them show evidence of being able to do this. But when it comes to culturally responsive teaching, we don't necessarily ask for that. We say take a class in it, and when taking a class in it, we hope you're able to do this. Now, again, in the book, what I found was that teachers of color did this at a different level than white teachers.
Hmm.
And it's more because of the intentionality and the relevance and importance of that. But if we had policies that really push that you have to show evidence of this to become a teacher, I think it would really force teachers to be more intentional about this. So, for instance, in the book, when I found that 96% of teachers, white teachers, took culturally responsive practice, are multicultural ed in their programs. And about 98% of teachers of color took the same course in their program. I don't understand why not 100%, but here we are. And then when you look at who use it in practice, it was, again, about 88 to 94% of teachers of color use this in their practice, compared to about 70-some-odd percent of white teachers who use it in their practice.
Hmm.
And when I started to break it down, it was a matter of looking at why teachers didn't use it or didn't engage. And they would say, we didn't take it in our program, we didn't have training on it, there were reasons why. But when you really break it down, what happened is that they took the course, but the course wasn't relevant. In the same way I see sometimes elementary teachers, when they get to math and science, it gets challenging for them. Oftentimes, elementary teachers are more literacy-based than they are math and science-based.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to make it through those courses rather than really doing it. And this is not all elementary teachers, but it's kind of a norm.
Mm-hmm.
But in that same way with cultural responsiveness, oftentimes people just try to make it through that class. So from a policy framework, I think we can do more things to say, this has to be important. This has to be relevant. This has to be intentional. And we need to make sure that teachers can do this. right now we're at a pivotal point in which it needs to be made more intentional. Our schools are becoming more and more diverse. We think about even Sioux Falls schools here. We're up to what, about 30% now that is diverse. And that diversity is not just racial diversity. We have language diversity. We have poverty diversity. We have a lot of different diversities, forms of diversity that's happening in our schools. So with that, if you don't have teachers that really understand how to engage in that, it makes it very challenging for them to really reach those students. And we do develop a opportunity gap. We develop an academic gap. We develop a gap between those who can and those who cannot based on not the children's ability to do the work, but based on teachers' inability to really connect with them in a way that would help them to be successful. Again, it's not the fault of teachers. I think as a whole, we have to look at this. Higher education, we have to figure out how to make this more intentional. From a policy framework, we have to make sure that it's more intentional. From a training inside the schools, when they get to school, the supers and everyone else have to make sure it's more intentional. And I would have to say that's one of the things I do appreciate about Sioux Falls schools, is that they really are trying to find out how do we make sure that we're reaching all of our students. And they're putting in the work, which I think is great.
Right. What I'm hearing as the key on both sides of this, both from the educator standpoint and also from the student standpoint, perhaps, is it's all success really hinges on relevance and relationship.
Relevance and relationships, right.
Right. So kind of, especially for teachers, whatever kind of training they might go through, if you're not showing how it's relevant to them in their
right.
specific classroom, in their
right.
specific district, in their situation, they're less likely to put something in action.
Absolutely.
And then success really hinging on relationship, both
right.
for the teacher and the student,
exactly.
seeing that.
Exactly right.
Right.
And I think that, I mean, even when you talk about the relevance piece, that's learning 101.
Yeah.
If you can't make it relevant, it doesn't matter. With my middle son, who's an athlete, I'm constantly having to use, I can use references from sports or athletics to really get him to understand something, right? My son, who's interested in music, I have to really kind of think about how do I get him to understand it from that framework. And it's not just music, he's a creative person. And how to get him to understand things from that framework to kind of help him understand it. But if I start talking about music and creativity with my middle son, it's like I don't want to deal with that. It's too much stuff, too much emotional things. But what he's really saying is that it's not relevant, right? And I think that's a point of trying to get students to understand it from a relevant framework. Now, here's the thing that some teachers might say, that's challenging to try to do it with every single student. In early childhood education, that's what you're taught. That's what you do. Look at the needs of the individual children, and you look at the needs of the group. And so when I was trained, it was really about how do you respond to the individual needs of children? And I think you have to be able to do that from a teacher's framework. And sometimes it's easier because you do have a relevant connection. And sometimes it's more challenging because you don't have that relevant connection. But that's where the relationships, regardless of how relevant the experience is, that's when relationships come into play. And how do you build relationship to gain that relevance, to understand that relevance?
Right.
So.
Yeah. I'll kind of bring it back now to more generally looking at your time at USD as
sure.
Dean of the School of Ed. You've been here for about four years.
Right.
Is there anything that you hope to leave USD with as maybe a legacy for the School of Education or even just education in general in South Dakota?
Yeah, thank you for that. I hope that I've left the university and the School of Education in a better place than when I came. I hope, just as you mentioned, I think it's really impactful, those two phrases you made. I really hope that people seriously think about making sure that you stay relevant and that you continue to build relationships with students. And that's hopefully something that people saw in me as I worked with students or worked with faculty and staff. And it's something that they buy into, that this is what's going to make our School of Ed stronger, is by really being relevant and connecting. And the same thing with our schools. How do we connect with our schools, and how do we work with our schools? We oftentimes sit down with our schools, and they'll say, well, what are you doing at another school? And we would say, but how do we make things work for you? And how do we make sure that this is something that works for you rather than being cookie cutter and just sit it on top of something else? But that's part of that, being responsive, right? And so I hope those kind of things kind of continue. And I have a strong feeling that they will. I think people, hopefully, I've been able to bring in, you know, how do you engage and how do you connect? South Dakota is an interesting place. You know, people here have kind hearts. And I think that's something that's very unique about South Dakota. And South Dakota people are hardworking people. I would have to admit that as well. And it's a matter of how do you help our communities understand that we can move forward and be strong and be bold and at the same time be who we are. It doesn't cause us, we don't have to be less kind to be bold. And hopefully that's something that I've been able to help both the School of Education and our partners understand.
That was Donald Easton Brooks, outgoing dean of USD's School of Education. He visited with SDPB's Jackie Hendry before moving on to his new role as dean of the College of Education at the University of Nevada in Reno.